coming at you from the frozen tundra that is East Central Alberta, Canada, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Float, Odyssey, Telegram, Twitch, and tonight, the Prepper Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the workshop where we create community, find freedom, promote preparedness, and share success. I am Toolman Tim, and today is August 4th, 2022, and this is episode 148 of the Workshop Podcast. We've almost made it to episode 150. Not a milestone per se, but it's a nice round number, so I'm getting kind of excited. So, how has everyone been? We're going to run through tonight. We're going to talk about 12 harsh truths of starting a side hustle. It's hopefully going to be rather encouraging. I always try my best to encourage you, but I'm just going to share with you some of the things I learned along my journey. So before we do, let's get the announcements out of the way. Good evening, Ted. How are you? Martinson family, good to have you. So first off, if you are a TikTok user, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, whatever you are, if you're over on TikTok, do me a favor, give me a follow. My channel slash account, whatever's growing quite a bit. If you want to see kind of a slightly different bent to what I put out, some kind of exclusive content over there as well. So goodbye, give me a follow, enjoy it. I've kind of got hooked on the place. It's another place to put out my content, and it's another place. Liberty over on Telegram says he's a TikTokler. I like that too. Almost sounds like the Hamburglar, but anyway, that's another story. So anyway, if you're interested or you haven't checked out TikTok before, go on by. It's what you make of it for sure. Number two, this week, what do we got coming up? A couple of really good episodes. Saturday evening, we are going to have the next edition of the Post-Apocalyptic Book Club, book number 3 of the Going Home book series. Rather excited. That's kind of a group effort if you haven't watched it before. We have a roundtable discussion through StreamYard, and we just chat all the way through and talk about our books, our favorite post-apocalyptic book series for sure. And number 3, if you are not following the Prepper Broadcast Network, I got to tell you, you really should be. You can pick them up in all of your normal podcatchers, especially our favorite Fountain.fm. You can, if you go by there and subscribe to the Prepper Broadcast Network, you're going to get all kinds. You're going to get the whole gamut of preparedness content. I know we have over a dozen content creators over there, and I believe there's a new one coming from Europe right away. So that's kind of interesting. So we'll be spanning multiple continents, not just multiple countries. So if you want to support, run by and check that out. And if you want to see most of the content creators away from the keyboard in real life, the easiest way to do that is at Prepper Camp next month. When I typed that out tonight, I thought, how in the hell is Prepper Camp next month already? But if you want to go to the mountains in North Carolina and meet up with us, it would be a lot of fun. I'm sure we could have a drink around the campfire at some point. And speaking of drinks, tonight it is homemade peach fuel. And that is the beauty of having a community. And Mr. Man out there who made this for me, which is totally only supposed to go into vehicles, thank you very much. I know it's probably sacrilege to mix it with something, but boy, it's awfully tasty with peach in Diet Pepsi. Anyway, today's tool. I don't know if you can see my hands. The blue's almost gone. I did some slightly, I wouldn't call it oil-based paint at this point because it really doesn't. Oil-based paint is almost non-existent. I had to do some painting yesterday, got paint all over my hands, and the best product I found to get rid of paint off of anything is Goof Off. So I used that, just sprayed it on my hands, rubbed it all around, and there you go. That's all it is. It is the best. It works great for getting it off of vinyl siding, off of wood, off of cement, concrete surfaces. So if you're looking for a fairly inexpensive product that works better than you might expect, that's the way to go. So with that being said, let's slide on into the main topic today. Hey, we got Llama Llama in here. How are you, Llama Llama? Always good. Always love seeing names that I don't see in here all the time. So it's for a beautiful Thursday evening in the summer. I appreciate having you guys here. So where did this episode come from? Well, I sat down last night and I knew Thursday was coming. And Thursdays are always, you know, I always have interview shows lined up on Sunday, and Saturdays are kind of a catch-all. You know, a lot of times they're movie episodes, or we have, you know, once a month we have our discussion on post-apocalyptic books, that kind of thing. But Thursday's always, you know, more of a preparedness kind of bent. And I got thinking, you know, And here's the other thing I got to tell you. The struggle as a content creator is you have to go back and cover topics that you've covered before. The idea of side hustles, you know, if you were at the LFTN Spring Workshop this year, you would have heard me talk about developing your own business, you know, me encouraging you on how you can do it. But it's a topic that needs to be brought up all the time, because to me, one of the main tenets of a preparedness lifestyle is having some sort of entrepreneurial venture. It doesn't mean that it has to be the be all and end all of your life, but you'll certainly find some extra freedom by exercising first off a side hustle and then a full on entrepreneurial venture, if that's what you're looking for. So where did this come from? Well, the big thing has been lately in the Telegram group, and you guys know I brag you guys up. I just love our community over there. And there's been a bunch of people who have been chatting and saying, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I got a good buddy of mine. Well, you guys know him anyway, just picked up one of the biggest contracts/jobs that he's ever had with his side hustle, which could turn it into an absolute gold mine for him. I'm so proud of him. Then we had a guy the other night was talking about getting a furniture business up and running. And it just seems to be the focus of so many people lately is getting out there and, you know, wanting to find a little more freedom through entrepreneurship. And of course, find a little more freedom by making some extra money, right? Because I always say entrepreneurship is like Lay's potato chips. You can't have just one. You start one venture and then it always seems to want to lead to another. So the experience that we have over on the Telegram group all the time is just one of encouragement. And it's one where everybody is just, you know, building each other up, offering advice. And I figured it's time to get back to the basics. We're going to talk about starting a side hustle, turning it into a full-time venture. And then I'm going to share with you, you know, the title's a little bit clickbaity, 12 harsh truths of starting a side hustle, but they're not. So if you just read them on paper, you might think, man, Tim's being really negative this week. And they're not. They're just, I'm being truthful. I'm being a realist. And I want to share with you the good and the bad of starting a business. The good far outweighs the bad. And you guys know that. But I wanted to share with you where I'm at, what I've learned, and hopefully what you can learn along the way. Who else we got in here tonight? We got Snail Creek. Love having him in here. He is going to be in the hot seat. Now, we're going to interview him on Sunday evening. Always love some of the gadgets that he comes up with. I cannot wait to chat. We had a couple of really good conversations at the LFTN Spring Workshop. And who else we got? We got Nate, Mr. Nate Lemaster from Two Chicks Homestead. He's in here as well. Good to have you. Got a big size crowd in here already. Okay, so for those of you, and there's a lot, the podcast is growing like crazy, and there's going to be, hey, Corey, how are you? There's going to be a ton of people who haven't heard my story before, and I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version, okay? Hey, we got Packrat in here. We got Corey Alexevich in here from Love the Lots Project, and somebody who likes to show off their feet on YouTube and get herself in trouble once in a while. Okay, so for me, actually, it was just 5 years ago, and I think that's part of where this came from. So 5 years ago last month was when I officially launched All Seasons Maintenance. That's my business. That's the first entrepreneurial venture Becky and I started that's led into a whole bunch of other things since then. And it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows and all of that when I first got started. It was very, very part-time to the point where it was kind of hit or miss. And actually, okay, so the 5 years is when I started at the UFA Farm Store, and that's when I really put some hustle into it. But I tried for a couple of years before that. So you could kind of stretch this back to almost 7 years where I started and I wasn't charging enough money. I wasn't taking on the right type of jobs. I knew I wanted to be a handyman. I didn't know how I was going to be a handyman. And so I kind of dropped it. I was like, well, you know what? I'd really love to, but of course, I panicked and I went back to working for the man. Totally fine. But what it did was it opened me up to meet a whole bunch of new people where I could really expand my business, and ended up grabbing a lot of customers from the farm store who needed somebody to do something for them. And so I was working, you know, days and nights. And I've told everybody this, and doing snow and doing some roofing, doing some demolition, doing some landscaping, whatever I could grab. And I was building and building and building. And of course, I didn't necessarily follow the advice I give a lot of people, because I didn't get my business built quite to the point where it should have been when I walked away from working for the man. But again, I figured I'm either going to have a heart attack or I'm going to quit. So I quit. I walked away with no notice. I'm really bad for that. And anyway, but it gave me the desperation I needed to really push All Seasons Maintenance, which started as a handyman business and is now more of a property management business. And I kept building it. And after about 2 years, so 1 year working part-time and 1 year working full-time, it had finally replaced my working for the man income. And now, of course, I've built it up and I have quite a bit of money coming in at this point. And I have a bunch of different projects and contracts with different places that has made it, very good for me. So, but it didn't happen overnight. It didn't even happen over a year. It happened over the better part of a decade. So it's one of those things that takes time. So we're going to start. Now, I know it was actually kind of exciting. It just seems like I've been on kind of the same wavelength lately. Erin messaged me, Erin LeMaster, that's Nate's wife, earlier, and she said how she was kind of excited. Brian just asked over in Telegram, what can we get Tim to read on air tonight? See, there's this new game where they like to try to get me to say funny things, and then they turn them into clips over on Fountain. So if you'd like to hear Toolman Tim taken out of context at the absolute best way possible, you know, me talking about, you know, pulling it in, putting it out, shaking it a little bit, that kind of stuff. There, I'll give him something to talk about. That's the place to go. But anyway, so Erin just said she pulled out a bunch of paperwork and was getting kind of motivated or trying to knock out the excuses for starting a side hustle. So first thing we need to ask ourselves is, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? And if your answer is because all the cool kids are doing it, I don't know, that maybe is a good reason. I don't know. Peer pressure can be a good reason, but I wouldn't necessarily leave it at that. But are you looking for freedom? Are you looking to, you know, drop all the friggin' stress that you have working for whomever you happen to be working for? What's your reason? Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Now, number two, what do you want to do for a side hustle? Now, here's the thing. Is it just something you're interested in? Like, are you, you know, do you really love like Warhammer? Do you guys know what Warhammer is? It's those little tiny figurines that you paint and everything. Like, if you're really into that, can you turn that into a side hustle? Because I do know a guy who does that part-time and, you know, he just does it to fund his hobby. But are you looking to build a side hustle just simply because you're already doing something and you kind of like it? Or are you looking to actually do something that you know in your market will make you money? Now, like I said, is there a demand for what you want to do? Now, that's the next thing. So, sorry, guys. Is there a demand for it? And that's the thing. So we're going to get into these harsh truths a little bit. I'm going to kind of touch on one right now. But when you're first starting out a side hustle and turning it into a business, you may not be able to only do the thing that you really want to do. And we're going to touch on that a little bit more. But is there a demand for what you're doing? And for me, it became very obvious very quick. As soon as I started doing handyman-esque kind of tasks in my area, I would have people come to me all the time. And they're like, oh, wow, that's what we need. There's nobody doing the little shit in our town. You know, we've got contractors doing the big stuff, but nobody that wants to do the, you know, half-day jobs, the little stuff, right? So look around and say, yeah, I really want to start this, but is it just because I'm passionate about it, or is there really a need in my area? And Nate says, I don't have Warhammer 40K money, but I do have ham radio money. Amen to that. See, but you know, at least we can, I guess we can't converse yet, but if the shit ever hits the fan, we know that Nate can be our comms guy for sure. Now, here's the next one. Do you have the drive and the desire to stick with it long term? You know, it reminds me of when you're talking to your kids and you're like, okay, we got a big job to do today. For instance, we used to stack firewood when we used to burn fire. You know, we had a wood-fired fireplace or furnace in the basement, and we used to have to stack 10 or 12 cord of wood. And I used to tell Mac, my son, I'd say, okay, it's going to be a long, hard day. Yep, I know, Dad. No, I mean it. It's going to be really hard. Yeah, I know. And you'd be like, okay. Or we're going to go for a long hike in the woods. You're like, okay, Mac, or okay, Liv, it's going to be hard. Yep, I know. And they would cut you off because, well, they knew, right? They said, I know. And well, here's the thing. They knew until we got going. And then all of a sudden, half hour, an hour, hour and a half in, the fun wore off. The hard work was there. And they really didn't have the desire to kind of stick with it long term. I tried to warn them. I said, it's not going to be fun. you know, you can enjoy yourself and have a good time, but it's going to be long, hard work. I know, Dad. I know, Dad. I'm sure any of you guys out there know that term, right? But then here's the next thing. Do you have some support? Do you have somebody else out there? It could be an online community. It could be your mom or dad. It could be your significant other. It could be your kids. It could be a friend at work. It could be anybody that's in your corner supporting you, you know, being your little cheerleader saying, but part of supporting you is telling you when they think you're friggin' up, right? So if you're heading down a path again, and I don't want to pick on Warhammer, but for whatever reason that stuck in my head tonight, but if you're going to go, you know, balls to the wall and you want to spend $175,000 to open up a storefront to sell Warhammer and you live in a town of 45 people, then I hope your support system tells you you're dumb. Don't do that because you're not going to make money at that where you are. They might say, listen, let's pivot a little bit. Let's look at this. What can you do? Maybe let's just set up an online storefront instead of spending all this money on all this stock or whatever it is. But do you have a support system? Is there somebody in the corner shouting? And I've said it 1,000 times, but my support system has been my wife and my kids and my mom and dad for that matter. But it's just nice to have somebody there who's always saying, you can do this. And I do that for my wife as well. You know, she is at the point where I would venture to say that her business is more successful than mine at this point. And you don't think that makes me so excited, because I've been there hollering at her, hollering for her, saying, you can do this. So find yourself a support system wherever that happens to be. And like I said, it could be an online community, like our Telegram group. That's the kicker. That's what I love is I smile. Becky will look at me sometimes. She's like, why are you smiling? I'm like, I'm just sending a message to somebody. And it'll just be because I'm trying to encourage them. You know, I checked up with a few people today wondering how they're doing in their kind of their drive and their desire for what they're doing in their entrepreneurial ventures. And I just want to see people succeed, because to me, you know, it's fun to succeed personally, but how much more fun is it to help encourage other people? You know, had a content creator who, you know, thanks me quite a bit for giving them the kick in the ass to get started and sent me a message today that they'd made a milestone. And that kind of thing just lightens my day. I love hearing that. And you know who you are out there. And keep on keeping on, because to me, I succeed. My biggest feeling in success is when other people succeed. And Ted says, Llama Llama paints Warhammer figurines. I support him. So I told him he paints terribly. And now, oh boy, we have all kinds of fun here picking at each other in the comments tonight. So, all right. So let's start off with, now, here's the thing. I want you to know that if you're here and you're listening and you want to start a side hustle, you can do it. You can be successful. You will be successful. And if you want to turn it into a full-time venture, full-time money-making venture, you can do that as well. But it's not going to be easy. I know, Dad. I know, Dad. So here's the 12 harsh truths that I learned as I went along. These are going to be things that aren't great, but if you stick with me and hear me out, hopefully at the end, you're going to realize, ah, you know what? I can do this. It might not be easy, but it is worth it. So number one, it's going to take you longer than you think. Now, you know, as we get older, you know, I'm 41 this year, we start to realize that anything worth doing is going to take some time. But a lot of times when you start out, you think, okay, well, I can do this. I'm going to start a gutter cleaning business, or I'm going to start a garbage pickup business. And you think, well, I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to have 100% of my income replaced with this business in 3 months. 3 months down the road, you've only got 25% of your business there. And you might think, well, oh man, this is going to take some time. And it does. And you know, here's the thing, anything worth doing is worth putting the effort and the blood, sweat, and tears into it. So whatever business you've got in your head, just tell yourself, it's okay if it takes longer than I think. As long as you're heading in the right direction, as long as you're doing that long, slow climb, like the, you guys remember that game in The Price is Right? I don't remember the name of it, but it was the Yodeler, and he would go up and up and up and up, and it was just a slow climb. You know, you didn't want to fall off the edge, but that's what it reminds me of. So as you're going, just take your time, keep working, but it's going to take you longer than you think. And that's totally fine. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you're not going to succeed. It just means that the real world is tough. Building a business is not easy. And you got to keep doing what you need to do every single day, but it's probably going to take you longer than you think. And that is okay. Sometimes, so I had a, when I was down in Daytona Beach, I was on the live stream with Nicole Sauce and John Willis. And John said, you know, quite often we give people advice to save up all their money, don't quit their job until they have all, you know, all their ducks in a row and that kind of stuff. But I got to say, most people that you talk to that have done great things have done them out of desperation. And, you know, the desperation of needing to pay your bills or to make a certain amount of money, sometimes that's the biggest motivation you can need. But just remember that when you're building this business, whether it's a very, very side hustle or it's going to be a full-time multi-million dollar venture, it's probably going to take you a little longer than you think. That's okay. Now, number two, building a business is going to take you more work than you think. Or put it this way, it's going to take you a lot of work. And that is okay too. Like I said, it's like when you tell your kid, this is going to be a big job. Oh yeah, I know, Dad, I know. And a half hour in, your son or daughter's complaining because they're tired because they worked too hard up front and they're wore right out. And that's totally fine. The thing is, when you get started, you never really realize it. Every single day you get up, you go to work, and then you start building your business on the side hustle. And it'll tire you out. It'll wear you out. You know, I think about like Jack Spirko from the Survival Podcast when he talks about, I mean, he was working day and night building his podcast up, you know, recording when he was in a little Jetta, and just spent every minute that he had to, that every free minute he could find to build it. And again, if you want to build something big and you want to build something great, it is going to take you a lot more work than you think it will. That's okay too. Just remember, so I'm telling you these harsh truths so that you don't get discouraged when you're halfway down the path and you're like, but Tim said it was going to be easy and he said it was going to be quick. And if you're saying that, slap yourself across the face right now because I didn't say that. Okay, number three, it's going to tire you out more than you think. And especially early on, this is what I found. You know, I was working morning, noon, and night. I always tell the same stories about my snow contracts. I picked them up and I would go before work. I would go on my lunch break. I would go on my coffee break. I'd go after work. I'd shovel snow in the dark. It just never stopped. And then the first year that I did my lawn care business, I was doing it full time. It was very, very common for me to, you know, start first thing in the morning and still be mowing come almost sunset. You know, in the last couple of days, I've worked pretty good long days, but I don't work as hard as I did even when I first started my business because I've built in some flexibility in my business. But those first couple of years, if you want to do it, Ted says it took me, yeah. Ted is a great example of an entrepreneur. Ted is a handyman, carpenter, does a whole bunch of stuff down where things never freeze down in Florida. His biggest concern is the occasional iguana falling out of a tree and hitting him on the head. But said it took him 50 years to get where he is today. So you know what? It takes longer than we think. It takes more work than we think. And it's going to tire you out a little bit more than you think. And that is totally fine. You got to find time to do your hustle, whether it's first thing in the morning getting up or last thing at night after everybody goes to bed. But it's going to tire you out. You're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. There's going to be that day where you're going to wake up and you'll be like, nope, fuck it. I'm not doing it today. But you know what? You're going to do it because you're committed to it. You're going to be tired. You're going to be wore out. You're going to want to be cranky with your family, but you're not going to do it because if you want their support, you damn well better do it and keep your mouth shut. But you got to find that time. You got to tire yourself out. You got to work through it and you'll get there. Again, all of these things are just truths. I'm not telling you them to discourage you. I'm just telling you them so that you know you're going to be tired when you're building the business, and that's okay. Now, here's the fun one. You're going to like this. You're going to want to quit more than once while you're building this business. And you're probably going to come really, really close to quitting on the more than one occasion as well. There's been a few times for me. There was my horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day where everything broke and it cost me so much money and all I wanted to do was run away. There was a time that I was underneath of somebody's trailer trying to redo their plumbing, cut into their vent stack, and the whole thing slid down. I made a huge mess. I couldn't get anything to drain in the house. End up having to give them all their money back, apologize profusely, hire another plumber. I was miserable. There was one time I went and found one of my signs up at a local gas station, and somebody had written something really nasty on it, and it really just discouraged me. There's going to be horrible, no good, very bad, shitty days where you're going to say, that's it, I quit. And I'll tell you something. The night, my very last semester of university, and you know what? Whatever it is, whatever your feelings are on post-secondary education, I almost called it post-apocalyptic education. So the night before I was supposed to go back to my final semester and finish my degree, I looked at mom and I said, I'm done. I hate it. I hate going there. I don't want to do it. I quit. And she looked at me. She said, okay, all right, whatever you want to do. I went to bed. I was done. Wasn't going back. All that money I invested was going to be for nothing. Not for nothing, but that was it. I wake up the next morning and I said, okay, I'm going to go. And you know why that was? Because I didn't make that spur of the moment decision when I was just stressed out and didn't want to do it. So here's the thing. What Becky never allowed me to do while in that funk was to make a decision and quit. She always said, just give it a little bit of time, sit down, calm down, give it some thought. Now here's the thing. And here's where I got to say, building our businesses and seeing this is where people who succeed and build a business, this is the line that separates them from the people who don't. And that is when you have your terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, it's what you decide to do with it from there. If you just quit and walk away without turning around and looking at how far you've actually come, well, then you're not going to have your business. But if you give yourself a day or an hour or whatever it happens to be, and then you keep going forward, those are the people that are going to find success. And I'm not telling you you're going to find success right over the next hill, but what I am telling you is you will find it eventually. But if you quit, I guarantee you won't. So there you are. It is. You're going to have a bad day. There's going to be times when you want to quit. Ted says he's been doing this for 50 years, or it's taken him 50 years to get here, and he says, I quit almost every day. Yes, there are days that you just don't want to do it anymore. And once you, quote unquote, become successful, you still have those days, but it's a little easier to talk yourself into keep going to work, right? But yes, you're going to have those days, totally fine. It's what you do with that day and where you go beyond that that will define whether you're going to succeed or whether you're just going to go back and work for the man. Number five, where you start is probably not where you're going to finish. And where you think you're going to be is probably not where you're going to be. When I first started, I would do odd jobs. I figured I was going to succeed as a handyman, and that built my business. It absolutely did. I loved it. But if you'd have told me you're going to be a property manager, I might have thought, well, that's kind of cool, but I don't really know what that is. I don't know where to head with it. And I might have ended up, you never know. But I honestly figured I would just always be an odd job handyman type. And that's okay. Wherever you think your business is, and part of starting a side hustle and then turning it into a full-time business is paying attention to the trends and paying attention to what works. I always call it the spaghetti method, especially when you early on, you kind of have that shotgun approach where you try absolutely everything you can. And if you figure out, okay, this is what's working, you do more of that. It's the same concept if you're looking to build a content creation business. You start, when you first start out, you try a whole bunch of different topics. And then you see what grabs traction and what people really respond to and what they like to hear you talk about. And so you do more of those. And so now you've got three or four that work. And then, okay, this is the one job that's working the best. This is the one that brings me in the most money for the least amount of work. So you focus on that and you keep going. And what ends up happening is you come to a fork in the road and you take this one, fork in the road, you take this one. And at the end, you're like, holy shit, I'm not where I am. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, but if I thought this is where I was going to be when I started, I was wrong, and that's okay. Guaranteed, you're not going to end up where you started or where you even think you probably would. Got to holler out to Mr. Dixon, the Dixon Ways here, having a little bit of peach fuel this evening, sir. Number six, especially early on, but here's a truth that not everybody talks about as an entrepreneur. I talk about all the freedom you're going to have, But in some senses, you have less freedom when you're your own boss than when you're working for somebody else. And here's the thing. Part of that is mental. Part of it is you are always, always going to be tied to your business because it's your baby. It's what you care about. It's what you love. But you're going to be thinking about it mentally. You're always going to be kind of tied to that. And that's okay. Liberty just said over on Telegram that he got to a fork in the road and he went straight. That's how he ended up in the ditch. But that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so you are, in some ways, you're going to have less freedom as your own boss. That's okay. I mean, you have freedom to take off and go places sometimes once you build that into your business. But, you know, as a property management manager, for instance, I'm on kind of the, you know, I'm always being called. I'm always having to be around. I might be able to go and do things I want to do, but I always need to be here for it. And when that business is your baby, you got to, you know, there's never a, sorry, that's not my responsibility. Everything's your responsibility when you're building a business. You got to take care of the financial end of things, the paperwork end of things, the tax end of things, all the different jobs. You got to answer the phone calls. You got to be the promotion end. And there's never a, sorry, that's not my job. I mean, you know, there is what it is, but you're hooked in. It's your business. It's what you have to do. And you've worked really, really hard on it and you don't want to lose that, but you're going to be hooked in. And like I said, having your own business, you do have more freedom in some instances, but you're always the person that has to answer the phone. You're always the person that has to answer the questions. And especially early on, you're just taking any work you can get. And so for a while, you may find you actually have less freedom, but long-term it will work out. Number seven, here's the next one. It's a slow and steady. It's not all at once. Very, very rarely does somebody build a product, go on the Shark Tank, sell it for $1 billion and retire rich. You know, and even if they did, how many years did they spend developing that product? And you know what? Develop that product or that business and you're going to see a flat line. And then finally, it's going to be gradually and then all at once. And this is what happens. You start building a business and you go slow. And you're building. And then all of a sudden, come over this way, Tim. All of a sudden, you see the growth. It's a slow and steady thing. I always say that my superpower for a lot of things, and a superpower you should really try to develop, is doing something, doing anything, doing the right thing every single day. Getting up and working on your business. And for a long time, you're not going to see the growth or the income that you necessarily thought you would. But if you keep doing the right thing day in and day out, you're going to get that steady, you know, that kind of yodeling mountain climber from The Price is Right. And eventually you're going to get to what you consider success, but it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen all at once. It could take a few years of working slow and steady every single day to finally make it there. Ted says, and this is where that freedom or lack of freedom comes in, you're always the person worrying at night. Yep. You're, if you're working for somebody else, it was your boss or whoever's in charge of payroll who was worried about it, who was saying, oh, well, are we going to have enough money to pay the bills this month? Well, you know what? When you're your own boss, you're the one worrying about all that stuff. So like I said, it's slow and steady. It's not all at once, and that's okay. But these harsh truths are there so that maybe you can say, oh, Tim did learn these. And I'll be looking for them. And if there's a fork in the road, I'm going to walk down the middle and fall in the swale. Just sort of happens. But yeah, so it is slow and steady. You're not going to find, if you want to find long-term success, it's not going to come overnight. I don't care who you are. You know what? The 1 in a billion person that finds it, great. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who want to build something special and want to build it slow and steady to the point where it totally, where you can totally be self-sufficient from it. Number eight. Now, this one, I wasn't sure if I should write it down, but I did. And it's, you might be better off doing something different at first. Now, here's why. Ted must be reading my notes here. Impact Nation Tools, good to have you. Great to have you, actually. Ted says entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Yes, I would say probably 95% of people can do some form of entrepreneurship, but Ted is sneaking a peek at my notes. So what I'm going to say here is you might be better off doing something different at first. Now, if you are or might be passionate about wedding cakes, But there isn't that big of a wedding market in your area. And if you go, once again, hog wild and say, I'm doing only wedding cakes, well, there's probably a good chance you're not going to succeed. Because if there's only three or four weddings in your town in the run of a year, well, you might not make it. You're not going to have enough business. But how about you do this? How about you start out with catering, which is in that same ballpark. So maybe you do catering, maybe you do wedding cakes, you do meal delivery, meal prep for people, you do a baked goods delivery, all of those. And so what you're doing is you're starting broad, and then over time, hopefully you can build up enough of a business to get there and do it. So like I said, you might be better off doing something different early on, or at least more things, so that you can find enough success to then focus on the thing you want to do. Because here's the thing, if you've never baked a cake before, you're probably not going to sell a $1,000 wedding cake. But if you start building up toward it, then eventually you probably will. And that's totally good. But where you start out, you might want to try something different or broader when you first start. Number nine, here's a good one for you. You will screw up and you'll make mistakes. And that is totally okay. It's not the end of the world. Like I told you, I cut into that vent pipe and I knew that was bad, but we're not going to tell that story again. But when I started my first run around with the handyman business, I discovered, hey, I'm not charging enough, not near enough. And so I wasn't making enough money and I couldn't keep doing it. I wasn't finding enough customers. I wasn't finding the right type of customers. I wasn't taking on the right type of jobs, all of that. So if you screw up, apologize, make it right, because it's going to happen. But here's the thing. Customers will remember if you make it right, and you're going to learn from that. And the cool thing is, if you screw up and you're honest about it and you fix it, there's a good chance that customer is going to be calling you back and saying, hey, could you help me again? And Ted says, yeah, here's the truth, guys, that it feels like the end of the world sometimes. And it absolutely does. It's miserable. You think, wow, how did I screw up this bad? So it is. It is what it is. And we make it and we keep moving on. Number 10, you'll feel like an imposter and someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Here's the thing. No one gives you permission to be an entrepreneur. And that's the thing. That's why, okay, you don't go to school and you don't say, well, okay, you can on occasion, but rarely are you ever going to go to school to become an entrepreneur. That's okay. You're not going to get a college degree that says, hey, you are now an official entrepreneur. Go do something with your life and you'll be successful. You're going to feel like an imposter. You're going to suffer from imposter syndrome, and it's totally, totally fine. You can tell yourself over and over again that you're going to be successful, that you're going to be an entrepreneur, but there's going to come a time when you're going to say, man, I just don't feel like I'm a real business owner, or I don't feel like I'm really successful with this. And you know what? That's okay. Ted's been here encouraging us the whole night. He says, fake it till you make it, Tim. And that's part of it. Yes. You're going to feel like an imposter. You're going to feel like you're just not making it, or you're just not a real entrepreneur. You know, I always tell that story about I had to start calling my wife or my fiance at the time, because I didn't feel like I was really engaged. It didn't feel real until I started talking about it. And when I started launching a business, I had to talk about it for so long until I finally really, really felt it in my brain. And I'm like, okay, now I'm finally doing it. So there's going to come, you're going to feel like an imposter. You're going to feel like you don't know what you're doing, and that's okay. And I've always said it, if you're waiting for someone to give you permission to start a business, you know, as long as you're not doing something your wife doesn't want you to do, I'll tell you, it's totally fine. Go ahead, be an entrepreneur. All right, number 11, guys. So 11 out of 12. Right now, here's the thing. Right now might not be the time for you to start your hustle, and that's totally okay too. Now, this is not an I'm not giving you permission to tell yourself excuses and just give up, okay? That's not what I'm saying here. But if you're sitting down and you're thinking, I really want to start a business, but, you know, I really want to, but I don't have a website. I really want to, but I don't have an existing client base. Or I really want to, but I lost my leg in a shark fighting accident or something, right? So here's the thing. If you're making a whole bunch of excuses, you need to ask yourself, why in the hell am I doing that? Is it because I'm just not in the place where I want to start my business right now? And if that's the case, that's okay too. Now, did you maybe just have twins or a baby and you just don't have the time to commit to a business? That's all right too. Just because everyone else around you is doing it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it too. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not giving you permission to give up. I'm not trying to give you excuses. I'm just saying sometimes we go through different sessions and seasons in life where we think, wow, I don't think I could start a business right now. And this whole thing came out of Andy's question. He asked me the other day and he said, you know, do you think you could have started your businesses or your business when your kids were young? And it's impossible for me to answer now, but I'm not sure. It was tough. I really think it would have been really, really difficult. And we go through different seasons of life. And then while I was putting my show notes together, I thought, you know, I don't know if I could have done what I'm doing now when I was 20 years old. I would have had the energy to do it, but I don't think I would have had the drive or the knowledge or whatever it was. Something flicked in me in my mid-30s where all of a sudden, you know, one of the most important things to me was success in building some independent income. But I don't know. There's different seasons in life where it happens. Nate says, it depends on the side hustle. With the downturn in the economy, a repo business might do well if you can invest in the capital. Absolutely. And that's kind of the cool thing. You know, my dad always worked in the grocery business, and he said that, you know, the grocery store for the most part was always recession proof because people always had to eat. And he had a good buddy that worked in the garbage business. And he said that he was never too negative because the garbage business was always picking up. Oh, sorry for that dad joke. But yes, you know, it really depends. And Nate's right. You know, a repo business might not be the right business to get into if the economy's booming. I mean, it could be, but it might not be as well, you know, or another one like houses, you know, repo and houses and that sort of thing. There's certain times when businesses will work, certain times when they won't. And there's certain times that they'll work for you and certain times that they won't as well. And that's okay. And Liberty says wisdom and experience. And that is true. You know, I guess experience would be making the wrong decision and wisdom would be learning from making that wrong decision. So when you look out at your season in life, the economic season that's out there and the opportunities, the side hustle that you want to start, this might not be the right minute for it. I'm not saying it isn't. And don't go and say to your wife, well, I'm quitting tonight because Tim said I shouldn't be doing a side hustle. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if heaven help you broke your back or were having heart trouble, then it might not be the time to go out and start a landscaping business, right? So, you know, there's a certain time and a certain season for everything. Look at your life and say, can I realistically commit the amount of time that I need to commit to start this side hustle? And if the answer is yes, then go for it. If you're just making a whole bunch of bullshit excuses, well, I can't help you with that. But look at yourself, look deep and hard and say, why am I making these excuses? Is it just because, you know, I want to watch Netflix and eat Doritos? Or is it because I just am not in that season of life right now to do it? And Brian says he's telling Corey that he's quitting tonight. Tim said I could. See, this is what happens every single time. Snail Creek says, when I had a seamless gutter business, would get behind, I'd call the customer, tell you a few days behind it was okay. They love you just calling them. Keep them in the loop. Absolutely. Yes, that is for sure. Because the worst thing is if you just don't show up when you tell them you're going to. Next one right here. Ted says, remember, guys, more millionaires were made after the crash of 2008 than ever in history. 100%. Because those type of people look for the opportunity in the economy. And that is the way to do it. Martinson Family says, when I was in my 20s, Ashley was in grade school. Pretty hard to raise our kids back then. Right now, the biggest hustle we're into seems to be child tax checks. Yes. Well, when you have kids, there's always a way to make money. That's for sure. Okay. And number 12, you might be one of the very few. So Ted said, not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Now, I would venture to say probably 95 to 99% of people are cut out to be some sort of entrepreneur. So once again, this is a truth that just says there are the occasional people that want the quote unquote security of working for the man. And if that's the case, I'm not going to begrudge you. I'm never going to tell you, hey, you know, I might believe that one of the tenets of preparedness, you know, anarchism, voluntarism is having some sort of independent amount of income. Totally fine. But just because I believe that doesn't mean that it's necessarily for you. So there could be a couple of people out there who being an entrepreneur is just not for them. And that is totally fine too. I remember chatting with Amy Dingman of A Farmer's Kind of Life, and we were talking about how there were certain types of, would it be peer pressure in the kind of anarchist, libertarian-minded kind of groupthink? And it was, you know, you need to homeschool your kids. You need to start an entrepreneurship venture. You need to have solar. You need to have a year's worth of food. You need. Well, you know what? Don't let that tear you down. Don't. So if there's times when, or maybe you're just not that person that should start a business, and that's okay too, but you need to come to an agreement or a, sorry, not agreement. You need to come to an understanding of yourself, of the type of person you are. Now, I'm not telling you this is an excuse either. I'm telling you, this is okay. You might be one of those odd people that just can't or doesn't have the desire to start a business. So don't let that negative pressure, that kind of peer pressure build up on you where you think, oh, I just need to do this because everyone else is doing it. You may not. I'm saying most of you will, and more people are going to make excuses that should be doing it, but you may be one of the very few who just isn't cut out for starting a business, and that's totally fine. Ted says, buy when there's blood on the streets. I'm full of sayings tonight. Yes, he is full of something else too. And Pack Rat says, it's an ill wind indeed that blows nobody any good. Yes. The only wind that blows nobody any good is the one that blows off a dump. But anyway, that's another story. So here's the thing. When you come out the other side of this journey, you're going to know what success is. You're going to be sharpened up. You're going to have all the edges taken off. You're going to be beat up. You're probably going to have some broken arms, some broken legs that you've had to fix. But here's the thing. I talk about content creation because it's completely difficult, but it's a super simple thing. And you come to a fork in the road, and you got to decide, okay, what kind of content am I going to make? So you make this choice and you get good results. So you keep going that way and you keep going and you keep going. And the people that you see that have, you know, thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of subscribers have followed that exact same route. And they're at the end. You're like, some people look at them and think, wow, they're really successful. But you know what? The reason they are is because they made a lot of wrong choices, but they made more right choices on their way there. And so now they know the formula to success. So again, for Becky and I, we started all seasons maintenance, and that was tough. You know, we had all those sharp edges beaten off us by life and by business and by all the other stuff. But when we came out the other side, we knew a lot of the steps that we needed to make in order to have a successful business. So the next one with her Busy Bees Daycare, we knew, okay, well, we know we need to put in this kind of work. We, you know, it wasn't a guaranteed success, but we'd gone down the path. We'd taken those forks in the road. We'd occasionally walk down the middle of a fork because we're, you know, foolish or contrary minded or whatever. And we ended up getting to where we know. And then, so when you come out the other side, you hustle through it. You put in more time than you think you're going to need to, more work than you're going to need to. You're going to be more tired than you think you should be. You're going to want to quit a bunch of times, but coming out the other side, the thing you're going to come out with is the formula for success for you. And you're going to know what it requires to build something successful. And you're going to say, oh, shit, maybe I can do this again. And you're going to try something else. That's what I like about it. Making the right decisions and the hard decisions will become easier as well. So early on, you might have a customer who will call you and they'll be like, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to climb down to my septic system and clean it out with your tongue or whatever? Something you just hate. You don't want to do it. But early on, you have to say yes to those jobs because you want to make the money or whatever. Making the right decisions, making the hard decisions become easier. Saying no to people becomes easier because you've had that success. You know, okay, it's not going to all fall apart tomorrow. That's the beauty of it. Coming out the other side, you're battle hardened. You know, you know what armor to wear. You know what armor you don't need to wear. You know the proper decisions you can make, and you're on the other end and you're like, okay, good. Now I know. It builds your confidence. You know, when I first started, like I said, I suffered from imposter syndrome all the time. I was always kind of that insecure bit. And it's because us as men, not men in general, but it always seems like so much of our identity is wrapped up in what we do. And I remember when I left my job and I was building my business, and I remember a lady asked my daughter, she's like, isn't your dad ever going to do anything? And that just broke my heart. I was beat to death because I just had no confidence at that time. And I was building the business, but I just didn't feel like I was. And all it took was that one stupid little comment to just beat me down and, you know, cut me off at the knees. But as I built the business and I kept going and I made it through a few of those horrible, no good, very bad days, all of a sudden, you know, my confidence built up. And eventually, you don't feel like an imposter anymore. That goes away. You know, it may never leave completely, but at least you know, okay, I've been doing it long enough now. I know what it takes to succeed and I'm going to succeed. So a lot of that, you kind of, without becoming too full of yourself, you at least lose a lot of that imposter syndrome and you can walk around with your head held high in confidence because you made it through that. And Ted says, what do you think about starting an alpaca farm, Tim? I know some really smart llamas. Oh, man. So I know people who've raised alpacas and they do pretty good with them, but Ted's just being a smart ass. So we're going to move right along. Here's the thing. Okay. This is where I want to kick you in the ass and I want to motivate you and I want you to know that you can do this. Okay. But don't use the word literally, Tim. Seems everybody uses that word too much lately. Nothing beats being your own boss. So when you finally find that success, you are going to love it. It's going to be freeing. It's going to take a ton of stress. The reason I shared these 12 harsh truths is because I want you to know, like I said, it's not all sunshine and rainbows when you're your own boss, but it beats the hell out of working for somebody else. It beats the hell out of going to work 9 to 5 and doing something that you hate or working for some, you know, 22-year-old asshole who is the, you know, the great nephew of the owner of the business, and they get to tell you what you're going to do. Nothing beats being your own boss. It's totally worth it. All the time you're going to put in, you know, whether you have a 12-month plan, an 18-month plan, a 24-month plan, whatever it is, when you talk to your significant other and say, honey or hun, I need you to support me emotionally, or I need your support for the next 2 years. This is my plan. I am going to build, in my instance, a handyman business over the next year. And I'm going to spend every bit of my free time, morning, afternoon, evening, weekends, building that business. If I'm not out making money, I'm going to be practicing skills. If I'm not practicing skills, I'm going to be watching videos on YouTube, or I'm going to be taking courses. I'm going to do everything I can to build that business. And in the end, you're going to know it's worth it because you're going to be able to make your own schedule. You're going to be able to define the money you make. You're going to be able to fire customers, which is one of the best things in the world when you got an asshole customer and you're like, you know what? I don't need to deal with your bullshit. Take a hike. Ted McDonald. Ted says, nothing's better than making your own money, Tim, and not making it for somebody else. Absolutely. Plus, there's always that cash money that, you know, well, we'll get into that another day, right? But what you're going to find when you've been beaten up by the entrepreneurial process, you come out the other side, all those sharp edges are worn off on you because you've pushed back and you've realized the things you need to do. You're going to find the freedom of schedule. You're going to be able to, you know, start your days when you want to start. You're going to be able to finish your days when you want to finish. You're going to be able to take vacations when you want to, because that's what you're working hard to do. It all comes down to independence and freedom. And the more money you have, the more ability you have to make your own choices in time. And I love the freedom of money. So you get to decide how much you want to make. I remember, you know, working at Home Hardware, and I loved working there for a lot of reasons. But one thing I didn't really care for was working all friggin' year, working your ass off, being stressed out, having your blood pressure through the roof, bending over, taking it up the behind from customers simply because you have to, all to maybe, hopefully, oh, dear sir, could I have some more goose and get 15 cents extra per hour. Like, it was miserable. You'd sell your soul to the devil for 15 cents an hour. No, fuck that. I give up on that. So one of the best things is figuring out how much you want to work, how much you want to pay, how much you want to bring home. The beauty of being your own boss is if you want to make more money, you just work more. If you're happy with the money you made this month, well, then you're done for this month, whatever you want to do. And freedom of choice. You know, I remember one time working at the hardware store, and my boss said, you need to go down and repo a double door from a lady. And I thought, why? I have no interest in doing this. They hadn't paid for the door or whatever, and it was a lady who had just had a baby, and I had to go down and bring the door back. I had no interest in doing that whatsoever, but I had to do it because my boss told me I had to do it. So coming out the other side, freedom of money, freedom of time, and freedom of choice. You get to choose being your own boss. You know, I get to choose whose apartments I went into. I get to choose whether I wanted to go and work somewhere that required a mask or not. You get to make your own personal medical choices. You get to make your own schedule. All of it, you get to choose who you want to work for, who you don't want to work for. If a customer pisses you off, you can tell them to pound sand. The freedom of choice is so, so great. And I love it. That is probably, to me, I don't know. I go back and forth. I think probably my favorite is the freedom of schedule, but all three of those are great. And it's totally, totally worth it. You work yourself through, you realize, geez, this is not going to be an easy task, whatever it is. And, you know, I try to stay as general as I possibly can, because I know every one of you have a different side hustle, a different entrepreneurial venture that you want to build. So I try to teach this in generalities so that you can take that and apply it to whatever it is you want to do. And it's awesome. You come out the other side. I just want you to know you're going to be beaten up, you're going to be broken down, but you're going to be stronger coming out the other end. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. This was a little bit different. Obviously Becky and I live by the entrepreneurial mantra. It's what we do. It's what we love. And, you know, a lot of people look at it and say, oh, well, it's easy for you to say you're successful. Well, there was so many years that, you know, we had to buy extra toilet paper just so that we knew if we ran out of money at the end of the month, the kids could still, you know, do their business, right? And there were so many times that we came this close to going to the food bank, and, you know, this many times that we came that close to having the power turned off. And we struggled for a lot of years. So anybody who says, you know, I'll say I'm an overnight success, decades in the making. And that's exactly what it is. It doesn't happen quick. It's not easy. It's going to suck sometimes. As a matter of fact, there's some days that are worse working for yourself than working for somebody else. But overall, once you get through the worst of it, once you've built yourself something that is supplying you and your family some freedom, then you get to do exactly what Ted McDonald says here with some emojis at the end. But freedom, freedom, freedom. So I hope you guys enjoyed that this week. If you have any questions, if you want me to do a follow-up on this, whatever it happens to be, as you can tell, I'm rather passionate about building businesses, but I think everybody should be. So guys, excuse me. We got some awesome episodes coming up this week. We have Saturday evening, the post-apocalyptic book club. Super excited for that. Watch coming up really soon. I know I've been teasing this for a while. We're getting really close to the Patch of the Month Club. I'm going to do an unveiling video, and then it'll be live. So if you're looking for a way to support me and get some pretty cool, possibly irreverent. Yeah, anyway, just if you're looking for something that's going to make you laugh, check out the Tactical Patch of the Month Club. It's coming really soon. Keep an eye out for the launch video. And then Sunday evening, we are going to have Mr. Snail Creek Homestead, Mike himself, coming in. I am sorry, guys. I don't know where this is coming from. Anyway, it's going to be great. Always love having you guys here. I can't believe we had, I don't know what I said, it was close to 20 people in here at one time. And for a Thursday evening in the summer, and our summers are getting shorter, I know you guys will be a little longer down south. Ted never sees the snow, but I'm counting the days now. I got a lot of jobs to get done before the ice comes in. So Liberty wants an irrelevant patch or irreverent patch. Anyway, they're coming, guys. I always appreciate you. And as always, stay happy, stay healthy, and have a great week.